Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In his essay, Concrete Approaches to Investigating the Ontological Mystery, Gabriel Marcel will pause for a moment early on in that and suggest to us several mistaken attitudes or approaches or perspectives, not only found in philosophy, but particularly in that discipline, but in life and culture more generally, that bar the way to even considering whether this is a real issue or question. And they bar the way to what Marcel is going to call mystery. To jump ahead a little bit, each of them treats it either as a problem or a non-problem. And when I say it, what are we talking about? Marcel speaks of ontological need, in French, exigence, and that can be translated as need or also as demand. It gets translated in the English text sometimes as need and sometimes as exigency, just a cognate of it. And what we're talking about is something within us, within the beings that we are, that demands or calls to or hankers after or desires being. And you might say, well, why would it do that? I mean, beings are beings, that's it. Well, the concept of being or the notion of being is one of the most difficult and tricky and slippery ones in Western metaphysics. Marcel says, I'm not going to try to define being for you here, although he'll give us a characterization, but he will tell us that there's something more than just the mere being, you might say, that we have. We need something greater than that. We desire something more. And he expresses this by saying this need is telling us that if we force ourselves to translate this exigency without modifying it, we will be led to saying something like this. There must be or must have been being. Everything cannot be finally reduced to the interplay of successive and inconsistent appearances. This word inconsistent, he says, is essential, or as Shakespeare has phrased it, to a tale told by an idiot. So he's not just talking about being as existence or being there. He's talking about, you might call it the intensity of being, or if you want to use another term, meaningfulness. And he says this is something that we human beings need. And it can't just be something purely subjective, something purely in our head. When he characterizes being in this section, he says, I'll just propose this approach. Being is what resists or would be what would withstand an exhaustive analysis of the data of experience that would try to reduce them progressively to elements increasingly devoid of any intrinsic value or significance. And so being is, you might say, not just the residue that's left after we carry out analyses. Being is what holds all of those things together and provides them with a meaning, provides them with something going beyond their mere component parts. He is not unique in viewing being in this way. So he says that there's several mistaken attitudes that are going to interfere with this need. So he goes on, here we go. A philosophy that refuses to give serious consideration to this ontological exigency is indeed possible. It's a possibility for us. It's a possibility for philosophers at any given time. So there's no like perfect period, like say the Middle Ages, in which they discovered the analogy of being. For Marcel, that's not actually going to cut it. He's not saying we need to look back to say Thomas Aquinas or anything like that, which by the way, as a Catholic philosopher, would be a common thing to do at the time that he's writing. He puts that path behind us. He says, at any given point, it's possible to have a philosophy that denies, that rejects, that pushes away this question. He also thinks that this is particularly endemic in modern times. And he also tells us, too, that the ontological need can only be reduced to silence by an arbitrary dictatorial act that mutilates spiritual life at its very root. So there are consequences to not acknowledging the ontological need. And here's the important part, going back to it's always a possibility for philosophy. It's not just a possibility for philosophy, it's a possibility for any one of us. He says, such an act is always possible. Our conditions of existence are such that we can really believe we've accomplished it. And this is something that we must not forget. This is a genuine possibility, precisely because we do have in some way this tenuous contact to something more, something greater that involves us as subjects, but also involves the world that meets us in the nexus of our body that Marcel considers so important, but isn't reducible to the corporeal. All of this affords us the possibility of engaging in a kind of reflection, what Marcel will often call primary reflection, as opposed to secondary reflection, which takes itself into account, that ends up closing off some of our deeper possibilities. So he talks about a first attitude. The first mistaken attitude, he says, is one of consistently reserving judgment. This would be the attitude of agnosticism in all of its forms. So we just don't know. We're not going to ever commit ourselves to anything. You could call it agnosticism. You could call it a certain kind of skepticism. You could call it by other names as well, being prudent, holding back. And he says that this first attitude has an exclusively negative import, and he suggests that it corresponds to a certain intellectual politics. The question will not be asked. What question? The question of being. What is being? And, you know, the further questions, how am I being and also connected to being, and what am I, right? Those are not going to be asked. We take some answers for granted, and then we just go on from there, and we evince a sort of skepticism towards any other seeking of the answer. We might do it on the basis of, we don't have enough time for this, or this is not what serious people spend their spare energy on. You know, there's all sorts of possibilities for doing this. Marcel doesn't spend a lot of discussion on that. Instead, he talks about a second attitude that he calls bolder and more coherent. And this one is very common in not only his time, but also in our time, and it had been common for several centuries before him, because it has to do with modernity itself. He says, the other, bolder and more coherent, would see the ontological exigency as a remnant of an outdated dogmatism that idealist critique has discredited. Now, we don't necessarily need to worry about idealist critique, because there's all sorts of other things that could substitute for that critique, particularly in our own present. We could say that other forms of philosophical analysis, or even the pared down versions of philosophy that we tend to teach today, would rule this out and say, oh, no, back in the old days, people like Aristotle were concerned about this, but we don't have to be worried about that sort of thing now. That's just something of the past. Or if it is around, we'll relegate it to literature or the supernatural, whatever that happens to be, or pick whatever you like. There's a dismissive attitude involved in there, a know-it-allism that is based on some sort of philosophical system. So he says, this second attitude pretends to be based on a positive theory of knowledge. And he says, I'm not going to give a detailed critique. I will just mention a few things, he says. So there's really two key things. One is he identifies what he takes to be a tendency or set of tendencies involved in these. And here he might seem a little inconsistent if you think about what these terms mean. He talks about an unconscious relativism or monism. And if you think about what monism means, it's the metaphysical assertion that everything is really one thing. Everything is really all the same. It's just different ways of putting it together. We can have this from Thales' assertion that everything is water, all the way to Spinoza's notion that there's substance and all we are really modes of substance put together in certain ways, down to, you know, certain scientific materialists of his time and our own time who think that everything is just not even atoms, but particles put together in certain ways, mixed together with energy and bound together by certain, you know, primary forces, and then we build everything up on that basis. What about relativism? Relativism is the notion that, well, everything is basically a matter of perspective. And I don't think that Marcel is particularly concerned about moral relativism here. I think he's more signaling something of a perspectivalism that says there really is nothing behind the appearances. The appearances and the appearances for us are all that we get, and they vary from person to person to person. Imagine sort of like a Berkeleyan universe, but take God out of the picture so that, you know, to be is to be perceived, and there's nothing assuring a constancy to it. So he says that a lot of times these attitudes really boil down into that. And those would block the way to saying that there's anything like being in the sense that he means it. He also says that they have a number of different features. They tend to deny the transcendent and try to reduce it to caricatures that misrepresent its essential characteristics. Anything that would be beyond it, it says, put in my terms or shut the hell up. Because, you know, unless you're expressing it in terms of, back in the old days, German idealism in its language, or analytic philosophy when it's focusing on language, unless you can express it in terms of language games, or pick whatever you want now, you know, possible world semantics, or the latest continental critique, jargony rich in many ways, pick anything you like. It's the same attitude. Fit it into my boxes or it doesn't exist. And that denies any possibility for the transcendent. He also says that it ignores the personal in all of its forms. It excludes the personal. The personal can't really matter. Even those who today would say, oh, the personal is public or the personal is political, they don't mean the personal in the same respect that we do. They often mean the personal blown up into something like a public-facing image, which is not the same thing as the individual human being. He says it also ignores the tragic. And this is something quite important. And you might expand this further and say it even ignores the dramatic in all of its sense. And that's important for Marcel. A philosophy that cannot take account of our dramatic situation as human actors is deficient in many respects. That is one main way that we experience what he's calling this need for being. I do also want to mention his discussion here of the Cartesian cogito. He brings this up because he says, when we start reflecting on this, on the ontological need, there's a paradox here. To formulate this engages me in a labyrinth of problems. Does being exist? What is being? But I can't reflect on these without a new abyss opening up beneath my feet. And what is that abyss? My questioning myself, what am I? What kind of being am I? What being do I have? And he says, surely I who articulate this problem, I should be able to remain outside of it, whether this be before or beyond the problem. And he says, actually, no. And this is why the Cartesian cogito, as brilliant as it is, does not provide us with the grounding that we need in order to get beyond this. Because it's not a matter of getting beyond. It's not a matter of solving a problem. So he says, despite what Descartes might have thought, if he gives us an indubitable principle, the sole certainty which it provides concerns only the epistemological subject as the organ of objective cognition. Marcel says it does guard the threshold of validity. There is something important about the I am or the I exist, but there's more to me, and there's more to me in relation to being. As a being among beings and a being in relation to being. So he says, one of the errors that's involved here is taking the knowing subject as the human being. arbitrarily separating the question, am I, from the ontological problem taken as a whole. He says neither of these can be approached in isolation. They can only be approached jointly and simultaneously. And that goes against the Cartesian method of breaking everything down into its sub-problems and solving each of them in turn, which is great for some things, but doesn't work for what Marcel is talking about here. He also says that the Cartesian position is inseparable from a dualism that he rejects without hesitation. To pose the ontological problem is to inquire about the totality of being and about myself as a totality. So he's rejecting any sort of dualism, whether it be of body and mind, whether it be of self and world, or self and other. These are not going to work for him. And so he suggests also that vitalism of different sorts is not going to be the way through here as well. And to bring this sort of to a close, the fundamental problem, as Marcel sees it, is treating being itself as if it's a problem. And now I'm using the word problem here in a sort of ironic way. For Marcel, there's going to be a vital distinction between a problem, which is something that can be solved with some sort of technique, some sort of discipline, and can be considered apart from the subject's involvement in it, and a mystery, which is in some respects a meta problem, a problematized problem, if you like, but one that actually brings in the person who is examining it within the scope of the inquiry. And the ontological need or demand or exigency is only going to be able to be understood from a perspective that views it as a mystery rather than a problem. And all of these mistaken approaches that we've looked at treat it as a problem. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.